The following has been recorded in conjunction with OU Torah, the Daf HaShavua Foundation, and Congregation Beth Aaron. We continue now with Maseches Beis, Daf Beis Amud Beis, four lines from the top of the page. Just to quickly review, we'd previously seen that the Gemara establishes that there's a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov as far as the laws of Muksa are concerned. Specifically, the Gemara cites a Stam Mishnah, a Mishnah which is recorded anonymously, which has not been attributed to any particular Tana, which rules in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who is Mekil when it comes to the laws of Muksa, and this Stam Mishnah is found regarding Shabbos. But we have another Stam Mishnah, which follows the more strict opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who is Machmir when it comes to Muksa, and this is found regarding Yom Tov, which leads the Gemara to the conclusion that there is a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov when it comes to the laws of Muksa. And of course, the Gemara is going to try to explain the reason for that distinction. So the Gemara, four lines from the top of the page on Beis Amud Beis, says, Michti, let us consider, Man Stami L'Masnisin, who is responsible for formulating a Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah. Rebbe, this is none other than Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi. Rashi explains, Hu Seder HaMishnah. Rebbe was the one who formulated and organized the Mishnayis. U'kishara'a Divrei Chacham V'yashu Me'enav. When Rebbe saw the words of a particular sage as being proper to him, so that he thought that the halacha should follow that view, Shonan Stam V'lo Hizkir Shem Omro Alehen, Kidei Shelo Yishnu Im Piyachid. Rebbe recorded this Mishnah anonymously, so it should not appear as if it is reflecting a das yachid, an opinion of one individual, rather veneerin ki'ilu nishnu mipi hamarubim v'yasu kamosa. Rather would have the appearance as if it is reflecting the view of many, and therefore we would naturally follow this particular position. So says the Gemara, if Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was the one responsible for compiling the Mishnayos and determining which is a Stam Mishnah and which is not, Maishna b'Shabbos the Sasan Lan k'Rabbi Shimon, u'Maishna b'Yom Tov the Sasan Lan k'Rabbi Yehuda. Why then is it that when it comes to Shabbos, he formulates a Stam Mishnah in accordance with the lenient view of Rabbi Shimon, but when it comes to Yom Tov, there's a Stam Mishnah following the more strict opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? Amri, the Gemara says, they gave the following answer. Shabbos the Chamira, v'lo asi l'zuzuleba, Sasan Lan k'Rabbi Shimon de Mekil, Yom Tov the Kil, v'asi l'zuzuleba, Sasan Lan k'Rabbi Yehuda de Machmir. The Gemara says the difference is as follows. When it comes to Shabbos, it has the appearance of being more chamor to us. Rabbeinu Chananel explains over here that in actuality, Shabbos is not more chamor than Yom Tov. But from our perspective, it certainly seems that way because there's no heter v'ochel nefesh. On Shabbos, there are 39 prohibited areas of malacha, and we don't have an exception that when it comes to the preparation of food, one may violate any one of those malachas. And so therefore, since it is naturally more chamor, even if we would go ahead and introduce a leniency regarding the laws of Muksa, lo asi l'zuzuleba, this would not lead to further disrespect or degradation of Shabbos, and so therefore, Sasalan k'Rabbi Shimon de Mekel. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi decided to follow the more lenient view of Rabbi Shimon, who was Mekel, who was not as strict regarding the laws of Muksa on Shabbos. However, Yom Tov, when it comes to Yom Tov Tekil, where the perception of many is that it is a more lenient day. And that is because there is, in fact, a heter v'ochel nefesh. Generally speaking, on Yom Tov, we observe many, if not most, of the malachos. However, there are exceptions when it comes to ochel nefesh. And therefore, if we would be further lenient regarding laws of muksa, asi l'zulebe, this would lead to some disrespect, some degradation of Yom Tov, and therefore, sasalan k'Rabbi Yehuda de Machmir. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi determined that we should follow the more strict view of Rabbi Yehuda, who is Machmir when it comes to the laws of Muksa, and that would explain the distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov. The Gemara now asks, B'mai Ukimta, how did we establish the case of the Mishnah? Remember that previously we asked whether the Mishnah that speaks of an egg which is laid on Yom Tov, was this egg produced by a Beitza, by a Tanagoles, which is Omedes Lagada Beitzim, which was designated to lay eggs, or was it produced by a Tanagoles Omedes Lachila, a chicken which has been designated for the purpose of consumption? So we'd explained, according to Rav Nachman, we're talking about a Tanagoles Omedes Lagada Beitzim, we're talking about a chicken, a hen, which has been designated for the purpose of laying eggs, Umishum Muksa. And the problem over here, according to Beis Hillel, is that we are dealing with a Shiloh Muksa. And that's why Beis Hillel said it is prohibited to eat this egg. Says the Gemara, Ihachi, if that's the case, Adimiflugi Bebeitza, Liflugu B'Tarnagolas. why is the focus, why is the machlokus on the beitzah, the status of the egg? They should really be arguing about the tanagolos itself, the chicken itself. Namely, if the tanagolos is omedes legat the beitzin, and it is considered muksa on the onset of yomtif, so therefore Beis Hillel could say that it is prohibited to eat the chicken. Forget the egg. It is prohibited to eat the chicken on yomtif, and Beis Shammai would disagree. So says the Gemara, the reason why the Mishnah chooses to highlight the beitz as opposed to tanagolos is lahodiach hakochem de Beis Shammai de benolad shari. This is to show us the extent to which Beis Shammai is mekel. Because to say that Beis Shammai is muksa, that Beis Shammai is mekel regarding muksa, that's one idea. But to say that they are mekel regarding nolad, that's an even bigger chiddush. We previously explained that when it comes to muksa, the object itself existed when Shabbos and Yom Tov began. Nolad, whatever we are talking about, the object which was created on Yom Tov didn't exist at the onset of Yom Tov. And so therefore, it's an even bigger chiddush to say that one is mekel, one is lenient when it comes to nolad. So therefore, says the Gemara, we want to highlight, we want to showcase the position of Beis Shammai, who says that nolad is mutter. Says the Gemara, v'lifugu v'tanagolas, l'odiach ha-kochon de-Beis Hillel, de-be-muksa asri. Says the Gemara, why? They should argue about the chicken, not the egg, and this will highlight the position of Beis Hillel, who is machmir when it comes to muksa. That's also a chiddush, to show how strict Beis Hillel is when it comes to the laws of muksa. Says the Gemara, well, v'chitema, maybe you'll tell me, because koach de-hetera adif. Because of the two, it is better to highlight a heter, that which somebody is matir, permits something, rather than something which is a chumra. Rashi and Tosfos supposed to explain over here, the reason why koach de hetera adif is because anybody can go ahead and say that something is usur. To be machmir is not such a big deal. Tosfos says over here, to be machmir doesn't require raya, you don't need a proof, you don't need a tam, you don't need a reason. You could just say that I'm machmir, I asked this, I say it's prohibited. However, if you want to be matir something, if you want to go ahead and be lenient and to say that something is permissible, so that requires a real koach, that requires broad shoulders. You have to be able to explain yourself. You have to be able to establish a basis for your position. So says the Gemara, of the two, it is of greater interest to us to highlight a heter than to highlight an iser. And so therefore, says the Gemara, maybe you'll tell me that the reason why the Mishnah chooses to highlight the position of Beis Shammai is koach de hetera adif, because the koach, the power of a heter, is even greater than the power of an iser. Says the Gemara, but if so, v'nifliv b'tshavayu, tanagolos omedos agad ha-beitzim, hi u'beitzasa, Beis Shammai yomim te'ochel, Beis Hillel yomim lo te'ochel. The Gemara says, but they could still have differentiated between both. The Mishnah could have highlighted that there is a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, not only about the beitza, but about the chicken itself. And Tosfos points out that this could be done with really very little effort, so to speak. Only by adding one or two extra words, the Mishnah could highlight that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are arguing not just about the egg, but about the tanagolos. So, in summary, we had a question as to what type of chicken we're talking about over here, and we presented the position of Rav Nachman. That position has been thoroughly examined in the Gemara, but the conclusion of the Gemara leaves us with a question regarding the strength of Rav Nachman's explanation. Because Rav Nachman did satisfy several questions that were raised, in the end the Gemara wonders that if in fact Rav Nachman is correct, that the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Hillel is regarding a tanagolos or medes legat ha-beitzim, and we are talking about the question of muksa, so then the Mishnah should not have focused exclusively on the beis on the egg, but rather should say that when we're dealing with tanagolos or medes legat ha-beitzim, he u-beitzasa, both the chicken and the egg, are a subject of a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai would say te'ochel, that you could eat not only the egg, but the chicken itself. And Beis Hillel would say, lo te'ochel, the chicken and the egg are prohibited for consumption.